Let us turn again to Proverbs chapter 8, where we read, and let us consider verse 11, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Proverbs 8 and at verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, wisdom is speaking. And wisdom is Christ. Wisdom is the Son of God. He had not come into the world at this point in time. As he came into the world in Bethlehem, when he took our nature and was born, and he went about doing good, and he went to Calvary, that was the particular matter we are to bear in mind, not the only matter by any means, is keeping of the law as the substitute for sinners. That was vitally important. It was a vital part of the work he came into the world to do. But in particular, we are to think of Christ coming into the world to die for sinners. And it all is summed up in this. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. But the call here is, just to isolate this for the moment from all the other precious truths and precious commands that there are in this chapter. Receive my instruction. Receive my wise instruction. Because if he is given the name and takes the name here as wisdom, then what he says is wise. What he says is wise. It's worth listening to. And if people regard it as foolishness, that's their loss. It's a sad loss. But we who are under the word of God, we are to think seriously about these things and think seriously about the call to receive instruction from the one who names himself as wisdom. And because he is a divine person, he is not boasting. It's just an expression of the truth. It's an expression of reality. An expression of reality. And we are to be facing up to reality. And we are to value a wise piece of advice, a wise call to whatever it is. And without getting distracted to be distracted with some part of the Word of God, it's not a bad thing. But we've given out a particular text, so we're to focus on that particularly. And we're to do it following on, as it pleased the Holy Spirit to direct Solomon to follow out the line of thought that is here, that there's instruction which is to be received and not silver. And statements like that, it's not that if somebody offers you some silver or the equivalent in some other form, it's not that we're to refuse it because of this verse, because what has been said is really this: receive my instruction as rather than, stick in the word rather in such in contexts. Receive my instruction rather than silver. That's more vital than silver. That's what's being said. That's what's being meant. We're to receive, if we have the opportunity and we need some silver, we need some money to live in this world, we're to receive. And that's the broad message of our text anyway. Receive my instruction as far more important than silver, as far more necessary than silver or cash or any form, money in any form, and knowledge rather than choice gold, rather than what is most precious or valued by people generally as most precious. Receive that. Why? For wisdom is better than rubies. What wisdom? There's wisdom in many ways. There's a difference between wise thinking and foolish thinking in many a situation, in many worldly situations, in many practical situations in this world. People following one course, one vocation or another. And there's wise ways of doing their work, and there's foolish ways of doing their work. Well, it's obvious what is best to follow. But you see, this is taking an overall view of life. And if you were to speak to somebody out in the street and speak about a wise view of life, an overall view of life, they might think of how to prosper in financial terms, how to be most comfortable, how to enjoy themselves best, and all within the limits of worldly activity. But you see, that's not taking an overall view of life. To take an overall view of life is to think, to take the long view, if I can put it like that, the long view. And what's the long view? Right to the endless bounds of eternity. Not to stop with death, when as many people wishfully think, that's the end of everything. That's the end of trouble. Maybe at the end of good things. And sadly, you can put it like that. Death is the end of good things for those who have not found Christ. But oh, receive wisdom. Receive the one who is wisdom. Receive what the one who is wisdom has to say. For wisdom is better than rubies or any other precious, according to human valuation. We've had silver and gold already. Now rubies are mentioned. And rubies, at any rate, will stand for everything that is given a high value in this world. All sorts of precious stones, for instance. All that would serve as a substitute for money. Receive wisdom, rather. The wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that is really wisdom. The wisdom that is, or what is true wisdom. You see, who's going to judge? If I'm claiming to be a wise man, Somebody else down the road will claim to be a wise man or wise woman. There's all sorts of people around this world in all sorts of places and with all sorts of degrees of influence. And they've got their wisdom to peddle. Who's going to judge? Well, can we get a better judge than the one who rightfully takes the name wisdom? The one who is from everlasting, as you have towards the end of this chapter. The one who is from everlasting. The one who had no beginning. Yes, God, or to speak of the Son of God in particular, because he came into the world. We will examine some of these things in due course, we trust. But you see, wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. One person desires satisfaction in one way. Another person desires satisfaction in another way. But here is wisdom. Here is true wisdom. And here is the one who has a right to call himself in an absolute way wisdom. And we are to listen to him. And it's better. And what he says is better than all the things that might be compared to it. They're not to be compared to it because the difference is so great. One seems to be altogether desirable for someone to come into £10 million or whatever it might be. How many people have won, if that's the right word, it's the word that's used. But is it a blessing if people get £10 million on a lottery or something like that when they're tempting God in his providence, looking for gain in a way that doesn't have his blessing, in a way that they have done nothing in which they have done nothing to earn it. Yes, but you see, here is what is not to be compared with anything of that nature, anything that in worldly terms is considered valuable, considered altogether desirable. But you see, while it may be useful to our money, it can bring great sadness with it, great disappointment. It's like, well, in many cases, one might think of it as being put into a bag with holes, and it slips out, and it's lost. But you see, here is something else. True wisdom, you can't lose it. True wisdom, it's in a bag that has no holes in it. That's a good thing to have, to carry your best possessions, your most valuable possessions, and it's wisdom. It's what comes through the one who is called wisdom. It's what comes through following the wisdom that he proclaims. And so let us, seeking God's help, say something first of all today about what wisdom is. And secondly, why it is better than everything else. Put it in the form of questions. First, what is wisdom? And second, why is wisdom better than everything else? First then, what is wisdom? And the first thing I want to say is that wisdom is not human wisdom. You see, it's not true of everybody, but professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made with hands. You see, that's where human wisdom left so many people in Paul's time. He was there writing to the Romans. It's towards the end of chapter 1. And you see, there were philosophers, there were lawyers, and the word is used in Scripture to describe those who are experts in scriptural law and in the traditions that got themselves attached to the law of the Bible. And therefore, they were leading people astray. They were foolish, you see. That's the thing. They were foolish in their human wisdom, going their own way. We need something better than that. What do we need? We need to be guided. We need heavenly wisdom. We need the wisdom that comes from God, and in particular, the wisdom that comes through the Son of God who came into the world, but who was always the great prophet of the church. Here he is, and you ask, who is this wisdom? Who is this one who is wisdom personified, who is an actual person, and everything he says is wisdom. It's wise, perfect wisdom. We can rely on. We can rely on wise, practical people in this world up to a point, up to a point. But here is one on whom we can rely perfectly. So this wisdom is not mere human wisdom. Yes, but you see, the exclamation that Paul makes also, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of it. You cannot fathom it. If you're going out to sea, certainly in older times, you might take a rope with some lead at the end of it so that it would sink. And you let out your rope, fathom by fathom, as seamen would have said. And you touch the bottom. It's a very, very long rope. And you still touch the bottom. You go out further into the great deep and you're still touching the water, the bottom. But there comes a stage where you don't touch the bottom. And you say, oh, the depth. Oh, the depth of this stretch of water. We can't, we've taken the longest rope we could find and we can't touch the bottom with it. Oh, the depth. Ah, well, let us try and measure the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And we start with some basic things that God has spoken in his word. We start with some basic things. And we think, yes, that's good, that's right. We can touch the bottom. But let us read on, let us try to absorb more of God's word, and we say, we can't follow this. Or we can follow it, but only because it's revealed to us in the word of God. Oh, the depth. Oh, the depth. And we come to what we cannot understand at all. And we say, oh, the depth. Oh, the depth. Yes, and that's what we should be saying. We should be trying to understand. We should be asking the Lord to give us light on what he has revealed the infinite wisdom. We cannot follow things to infinity, but we can seek to get a little more into the depth, that we might get good for our souls, and then we might get further good for our souls. Yes, the truths about eternal reality, the truths of what we will need to get safely into eternity. And you must say, oh, the depth. And you come back over what you have learned a little of already, that you might learn a little more, and you will say, at least you should say, oh, the depth. I cannot touch the bottom, but if the Lord will take my hand, if the Lord will lead me into these depths, not so that I would get proud about it, but so that I would get some practical teaching that would do me good for my soul. Yes, that's it. What would do me good for my soul? Are you seeking that? Are you seeking good for your soul? Are you going to the right well? There's many a well in this world. We don't go to wells for our water now, basically. Some may. But, you see, it's still something we understand, to go to a well for water. And there's many a well in this world. There's just one well, and it's accessible from everywhere. It's just one well that it's safe to drink from. Yes, the other wells, there's going to be something in them that's not safe. But if we go to the well of Scripture, we can find an opening to it everywhere. But particularly we get an opening from it as we're reading to it, as we're reading the Word of God. And we get an opening to it when we're listening to the preaching. If the preaching is sound, and may the Lord keep us who have this duty of preaching, to keep near the well, to be looking, to be putting our little bucket down into the well. And you'll be seeking to put your little bucket down into the well, that you might get something that would do your soul good. You get a drink from it, from the one who is wisdom. Can I put it like this, to carry on my picture? You put your little bucket down into the well, and be pleading with the Lord that he would put some of his wisdom into that bucket. And when you take the bucket up, as it were, that you would take a drink from it. Think of the woman of Samaria. I'm not going to follow that through just now. But think of the woman of Samaria. And she is there with her vessel, corresponding to what I've said about the well. And the Savior encourages her to put her vessel down into the well that he has brought near to her himself. And the well is deep. Ah, yes. And so when you realize that the well is deep, ask the Savior that he would fill the bucket for you. You see, we must be dependent upon the Lord himself in everything. And here is a way in which you are to be dependent on the one who is wisdom, that he would fill your bucket. That he would put even a drop or two into that bucket. And that he would help you to bring it up. And that he would help you to take a sip out of it. And another sip, and a bigger sip, and a good drink. Yes. The well may be deep, but there's one who can do everything for you. Think of that. It's a complete salvation. The wisdom here, there's sufficient wisdom. Or you may say, I'm not very clever. Yes. But the one who has wisdom knows how to help those who are not very clever or who feel they are not very clever. He is able to fill your bucket. He is able to drink that bucketful, and then give you another bucketful. And we should be asking for that we might learn from the one who came to reveal himself. He left behind preachers, and there are still preachers. And you see, what Paul was saying was, we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Unto the Greeks foolishness. Yes. That's what they thought of the gospel. And that's what people think of the gospel today. That's why they're not in church. That's why they go to shops and why they amuse themselves in front of their televisions or spend the day on the internet or whatever it might be. The gospel is foolishness. What the one who has every right to call himself wisdom, absolute wisdom, infinite wisdom, boundless wisdom. Well, what is true? He's right. And he would give us wisdom if we were asking. But it's considered foolishness. Why is any attention to be paid to something like this? Who believes in it anyway? Those who have got a little wisdom. Those who have started to drink from the bucket that is let down into the well that Christ has opened. That's wisdom. And may the Lord give us that wisdom. And it's only him that can do it. May the Lord give us the wisdom that we need. The wisdom of listening to the word of God. You see, those who are called by divine grace. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom that comes from God. What a great thing it would be if the Lord would make us wise to seek wisdom. To seek wisdom. We haven't got it ourselves. We might have natural wisdom. We may be very practical or not. But you see, if we would have this practicality, if the Lord would give us this practicality to seek wisdom, where wisdom is to be found, to go to the well, to go to the right well, and that is Christ, to go to the right well. There's that wonderful well. You see. And there's Christ saying, well, first of all, there's the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. This is my beloved Son, and he has a wonderful well. That's what the Father is saying in effect. Hear, go to the well and listen. And what does the Father say? Or what is he saying himself? That's the point now. What is Christ saying? He is the source of wisdom. As far as this world is concerned, the Father didn't come into the world, but he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He sent his Son to be the great prophet in the world, and he is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And how much more there is of that kind of wisdom. All that is revealed in particular about sin and salvation, we should be coming to that well. Yes. But, you see, there's this aspect of things. The fear of the Lord. How will we live in this world? What's the wise way to live in this world? It's to live in the fear of God. What does it mean? Well, let me quote from Job 28 at the end. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So these two things have been put together. The fear of the Lord and to depart from evil. But as you have it in this chapter at verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Not just to say, it would be better not to do this. But it would be better not to do this because it is hateful. And not just because it is hateful to me, that would be good. That's the fear of the Lord. But to put it like this, because it is hateful to God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And so, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lack the wisdom to keep from evil, if any of you lack the wisdom to keep from evil, then let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. If any of you lack the wisdom to seek the Lord, if any of you lack the wisdom to seek Christ, let him ask of God for Christ's sake, who giveth to all men liberally, and does not upbraid, does not, well, on the human level, upbraiding would be giving rouse. Well, translate that into divine terms, and what you've got is, God does not upbraid. God, yes, he may convince us of sin, and he will if he deals graciously with us. But you see, the big thing is that he will give wisdom. And part of the wisdom that we need, and part of the wisdom that God gives is to turn from sin, to repent, to lay hold of Christ. Yes, and therefore we might say from chapter 3 of this book, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Go to the well, see if you can come where the Savior is with the woman of Samaria, and he is teaching. Can you squeeze in with them? And will a whole multitude of people come to the well of Sychar in a sense, and listen to what the Savior has to say. Listen to wisdom. But let us go on to the second point. Why is wisdom better than everything else? Why is true wisdom better? And that's the real point of the text. No doubt we've got things a bit out of proportion time-wise, but I trust what was said is according to scripture and is practical. There's a book called Practical Religion by J.C. Ryle, which is well worth reading. But you see, all religion should be practical. And I'm sure you can derive that from what the good man said. But you see, let us go and think of the Savior's account of the rich farmer. He did very well that year. Very, very well. And he was wise in a sense. He was wise in a sense. But he wasn't going to the well for wisdom. That's the thing, you see. People might be very wise in the things of this life. And I suppose in one way you can speak of the things of this life as inclusive of true religion. And that should be, you see, true religion is what is said before us here. And the wisdom that gives us grace, the wisdom that comes along with grace, so that we act wisely. Oh, how much we need the teaching of God. How much? Are we making use of it? Are we taking God seriously? Well, we'll go to the well, because it's what we get at this well is more valuable than any other well. And the sad thing was that the rich farmer didn't go to that well. He said, Saul, there was much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. There's no need to go to the well just now. You can go later, just before you're going to die. You can go. Perhaps that's what he was saying. But you've been to this well, and the well is full, and it will be beside the house for as long as you live. Just keep going to this well. There's plenty in it. Draw out of it. But we need the well that has grace in it. We need the well that has the saving blessings that God has given. Thou fool, he was told. Have you wisdom, man? What is the Lord saying? Thou fool, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. But that's not the true wisdom. Because this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And where is the wisdom? Who shall those things be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Where's your riches? Where's your riches that will show that you are qualified for heaven? Where's the wisdom that it costs so much to provide for sinners in this world? Where's the wisdom? Where's the grace? Is there any grace in your soul? Oh, thou fool, thou hast not sought it. Am I speaking the words of God, or the lessons to be drawn from the words of God? Am I speaking them to people here? No doubt there's none of us. And none of us that were ever in this world, though they had been to the well, that had as much as they might have had. But you see, what a blessing if we'll get something from this well. What a blessing. What a blessing if you've been to the well at all. You let down your little bucket, and you've drawn it up by God's grace, and you've had a drink. You received by faith, oh, be thankful for that. If you've received by faith the greatness of God's grace, yes, the greatness of God's grace, what a blessing. What a blessing. Yes. But what is a man profited? Though he gain the whole world, though he gain all the rubies in the world, though he gained all the precious stones in the world, though he gained all the assets to be bought in this world. But what is that? What is that? For wisdom is better than it all. What a difference. However poor one might be, Lazarus at the rich man's gate, what a difference. One's been to the well, lame and all as he was, and no doubt you would say lame spiritually. But he's been to the well. He's been to the well. What a difference. The rich man never thought of going to the well. And he went down to a lost eternity. But you see, the great thing about Lazarus was he had been to the well. And if you have been to the well, be very thankful for that. Be very thankful. If you have been to the well, and you may be questioning, did I go altogether to the well? Did I go altogether to the right well? Ah, but did you find Christ? Did you get some little view of Christ? Did you get some blessing in your bucket when you drew it up? Did you find Christ? Did you get an insight in some degree? A wise insight, an insight resulting from God-given insight that Christ is the Savior, that there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And were you pleased with that? Were you satisfied with that? Were you satisfied with what was in the bucket? Did you draw it up and did you find this in the bucket? By God's grace, that Christ is the Savior, that he is able to save to the uttermost. Perhaps that was in the bucket when you drew it up another time. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. And did you see something in that that was relevant to you? That the Lord had put that in the back. Perhaps you didn't altogether see that, but you did find something to be satisfied with. That it was better than all the thousands of gold and silver. Yes. That it was better, more satisfying. You see, there was that in the psalm that was sung, Psalm 119, this great matter of the commandments, a godly life in the well. What was in the well? What could be taken up by, will we say, the bucket of faith? Faith laying hold of these truths. And I've just mentioned one or two. It's there to be rested on. Did you find Christ as a great and glorious Savior? Did you find, were you getting some insight into this? None perish that trust in him. None perish. No one perishes that trusts in Christ. No one is to perish that's going to the well and taking things up. Going to the well and asking, Lord, give me something from that precious well. Give me something from that wisdom, that perfect wisdom that will get me through this world. You see, there's those who are foolish. They've got no thought of God, no thought of where satisfaction is to be found, no thought of the right well to go to. They'll dig their own wells. They'll make use of their own wells. They may be successful. They may find something that seems to be good water, but they're nothing the better for it. Look for a better well. Look earnestly for a better well. There's this one good well. People don't want to be restricted for choice, but we should be feeling the restriction of the choice that is to be made in this world. The choice that is to be made, and by using the word world there, I'm using an expression equivalent to in this life. I don't mean the world in the sense of worldly, away from God. Perhaps that was obvious. But I want sometimes to emphasize these things, to focus attention on these things. The wisdom that comes from above, as we have it in another way, and it seems to be contradicting, drawing up from the well. Well, these are certainly what I've been saying about the well has very much been in using pictures, and the pictures that are in the Word of God, the pictures may not be perfectly consistent in themselves, just looking at the picture. But when we think what the picture is pointing to, when we think the spiritual reality that is described by the picture, to help us to understand a little better, there's a perfect consistency there. Well, I think we'll leave it just now there, but leave it with this, which I've quoted already. The Saviour as wisdom. The Saviour at the well. And he's saying, as he said so effectively to the woman of Samaria, may there be women of Samaria in a sense here this day who would come to this, that they would see Christ, that they would see Christ as the Messiah, that they would see Christ as the Saviour, and go to the well in the, as Christ was speaking of, I am the living water. I am the one who came down from heaven. And if anyone drinks of this well, they will live forever. I'm not quoting exactly. But you see, let me give the invitation to the well again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, bless us. Pardon our sin. Keep us from evil. Do us good. Bring us to the well. Bring us to that well where wisdom is to be found. Bless those who have found that wisdom. And may they be going to the well more and more, and letting down their bucket more and more. Ah, mercy on us. Hear us graciously and love us freely. Bless us with all the spiritual blessings. Do wonderful things. Do wonderful things among us here. Do wonderful things throughout the world. Bring sinners to look to thee. Keep us and care for us. Do us good thyself. Be thou our God and guide forever. Keep us from evil. May we be brought to fear thee. May we trust in Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Make us thankful for thy goodness. Bless us according to our needs and the abundance of the supply that Christ has made. Pardon us and keep us. Bless the word. Bless it everywhere. Bless it among us here. For Jesus' sake, amen.